Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Don't put this at the end of the podcast here, don't you fucking dare. Alright.
Wow, that just cemented it.
Where's Baston?
He was training in the jungle,
bombing pancakes.
He was running with the wolves.
Where was Fields?
Learning to read from the talking dog, yeah.
Where's Banknote?
He runs his popper's company.
Dark Lord's Trust.
He's a very naughty man.
Finally together.
The life of hope we call the dragon friend.
The lecturer's guest rooms at the Grundle School are minimalist but tastefully appointed. Like much of this grand old house, Bobby Pancakes, you make your way quietly back into your rooms, humming with the energy of a thief who got away with it. You have just returned from a midnight mission upstairs to the private offices of Eleanor Grundle, and only now that you are back in the safety of your room alone at the dead of night do you have time to properly investigate your finds. You lay the papers out on the desk in front of you.
Should I roll an investigation check?
Yeah, make for me just a quick investigation check.
Okay, that's a 18.
Okay, so as I said, a lot of these are signed by noted luminaries of the cities, judges, heads of the judicators, even sort of lords and ladies and gentry. And
any streamers, Dave?
Any
big name streamers?
a very popular bard as well. And all of them, there's a common thread in all of these that they owe money to the school and they are performing services to Miss Eleanor Grundle in exchange. Some are offering names up of famously anonymous masked judges. Some of them are providing access to their ships, to warehouses that they are meant to be protecting. One high-ranking judicator is giving her regular updates on the patrol routes through the city with promises to bring her new ones whenever they're changed. Also, as I said, there's this clipboard with names next to fluid ounces and dates. And as you look, you see that the same names are coming up again and again. First, Eleanor Grundle, then Justine Plummer, then Eleanor Grundle again, Punch-Up, Eleanor Grundle, the Claudette Delafleur. The list is quite short, and each of them has a fluid ounce total next to them. Something seems very wrong here.
Okay. Is there paper and parchment
Also, you notice that... Sorry, you also notice that Banknote and Baston have not yet returned. Yes, okay. There is paper and parchment.
Okay, I'm going to just make a quick copy of some of this information just to have it separately. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to use it to sort of barter with so that I can hang on to it. Do I have enough time to get all of it, or is it like just like I could get a couple of like big names that I'd recognize or something to sort of write down?
You have enough time to maybe get the... to copy, as I said, the Mark And one that I told you and the Judicator's notes and the clipboard. You can certainly copy the clipboard. Mm-hmm. You also, the gem is very cold to the touch and it seems a bit magical in property, just so you know as
can
well.
Can I do an Arcana check?
You can do an Arcana check, yeah.
Why aren't you getting mad about it?
Why are you having one of your patented Dave Harmon aneurysms?
So what Simon's doing is he's using the Arcana skill to determine if something is magical in property.
I got a 14.
A 14. It is magical in property. It has some kind of evocation magic. And there's a strange necromantic flair to it too. You can't tell more than that. You would need to use some kind of detect magic ability, but it is a magical item.
And what is it again? It's a sunstone or it's a opal or...
It was a sun opal, yeah. It's a brilliant fiery red.
Okay.
In the time it takes you, you become increasingly uneasy as you realize that now Baston and Banknote still haven't returned.
I think I probably need to go and get Filge and like fish those guys out of trouble because it seems more than likely that they're...
In a den of vampires? Yes.
So you make
your hunch is correct.
You make your way down to the common room and the door.
If I know those two rapscallions, they're probably in a den of vampires.
The door to the Switch My Common Room is as locked as it was the first time, and to a thief as accomplished as you, it takes half the time to unlock it a second time. As it swings open, you see a fire that is now almost out in a very gloomy room, and sitting next to the fire with a tall glass of milk is Filge.
Okay, so Bobby sticks his head around the corner and is like, hey, Filge. Filge.
Yes. Bobby.
What?
I'm just drinking a very tall glass of milk.
Oh, do you want me to come back?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Come in.
Is it weird if I come in?
No, there's no girl sleeping in here. It's just me.
Okay. All right.
Do you want a tall glass of milk?
Yes, but no. Let's...
But Filch is already pouring you a tall glass of milk.
Okay, thanks. I think...
It's a good one with the creamy stuff on top.
Okay, thanks.
Unhomogenized.
Oh, wow, they usually only sell that as pet food. It's bad for you. It can have germs.
No, you're thinking of unpasteurized.
Oh, yeah. This is delicious.
Meanwhile.
Sorry. So Filge, up until, I don't know, a month ago, didn't know how to read. But she knows the difference between pasteurized and unpasteurized.
She's wise. I'm sorry. I believe that she spent quite a lot of time in a little place called the Milk Dimension, Michael. And maybe she picked up a thing or two.
Don't go to the Milk Dimension without picking up one or two things about pasteurization, you fucking idiot.
There's going to be like season 12 of the Dragon Friends, where the Dragon Friends go to the Milk Dimension and have to murder Louis Pasteur.
No spoilers for the Yulmus episodes. So, meanwhile, downstairs and downstairs again in the downstairs salon. Picture, if you will, a table with a very uncomfortable looking vest on. A wryly amused Silas, Lord of the Ebon Flame. And if you think Baston looked uncomfortable, a weeping, smiling through a rictus grin figure of Lion Shield Banknote, his chin and lower lip stained red.
I'm one of you. I drank your cursed blood, and I loved every minute of it.
Yes, well,
I'm not going to make you make a constitution check, because that would be to stop doing this, which you are already doing, so that's fine.
Yes, well, I can see you've just yummied that right up. Look, chum, from vampire to vampire, I'm in a bit of a pickle, and I've noticed that you're somewhat liquid with your cash. What say you help a fellow vampire out?
I mean, I'm always happy to lord my wealth over people I meet.
Yes, well...
At this moment, there is a swishing of velvet robes, and the figure of Eleanor Grundle appears also at Silas's side.
Could I just enter? And he's like, Eleanor, I feel I've given you quite enough of my time and money of late, so why don't you leave us? And she's...
Go get me another one of those famous drinks. You don't mind getting a drink for an old friend, do you? And she's obviously quite offended, but she looks, swallows her displeasure, and walks away, leaving the three of you alone again.
You see, it's the damnedest thing. I keep coming here, and Grundle keeps giving me these incredible tips. I made so much money, and then tonight, wouldn't you believe it, everything is going to pot. So, all I'm asking, I suppose, from one, as I say, vampire to another... It's just a line of credit, perhaps.
Well, how much do you need?
Around about 20,000 dragons.
20,000 dragons? Yes, and I can suck my own dick. I don't think that's going to happen.
Do you know, I was sired by Strahd himself.
Lots of people don't like to say that name, but I, for one, don't mind. He's sort of like a daddy to me, you see.
Ah, Strahd, an old friend of ours. How is the old fellow?
Oh, you know, or perhaps you don't. What is your pedigree, blue man?
Me? Myself? I was sired by the one and only Nosferatu back in 4,000 years ago. I've always, and if you need to know my allegiances, personally, I'm Team Edward.
He pulls out, he looks at you, frowns, pulls out a very small black notebook, and he says, I'm not familiar with the name. What generation would that make you?
Nosferatu?
No, you.
No, as in from Nosferatu? One to one, really. I'm the generation below him. So find out where he is, I'm one beneath that.
Okay, well, what generation is he then?
I mean, you'd probably have to ask him, to be honest.
Do you know what I think, blue man? Do you know what I think? I think you're one of those sad little pretenders dotted all around this cabaret. They wear black. They like to put powder on their skin. But they're no more vampire than your handsome friend here. Do you know what? I think it's sad. We call them cosplayers, you see.
That seems like a slur, to be honest, calling me a cosplayer.
Well, if you're a vampire, if you enjoy things such as vampires do, and you won't lend a fellow vampire some money, perhaps a wager? Or do you not simply have the blood for it?
Okay, look, you want me to do something vampiric? You want me to turn into a bat? You want me to suck my own dick? Is that what you want?
No, I'd rather you didn't do any of those things.
Do you want to go right now to a stall somewhere and watch me do the very famous vampiric thing of trying to suck my own dick? Is that what you want to see, Mr. Silas? Huh?
I mean...
No, I didn't think so. So walk away.
What's your game here, Hing? Just so I understand. Are you trying to impress him?
I'm trying to get to fucking Grundle. I don't know who this guy is, and I don't want to talk to him. He got in the way of me talking to Grundle, so I think Banknote's just like, I don't care.
Are you
like,
at all do what it, able to divert
well, actually,
your
he
primary
looked,
objective, having met a vampire that's sired by Strahd,
no,
or is...
Well,
I guess I'm asking, is this a Banknote problem or a Hing problem?
Because I feel like Banknote's taking all this in, but it's like what he needs to do now is find out if Grundle's a fucking vampire. Because if Grundle's a vampire, then the whole game's up. He's got to kill everybody here or something.
Where did Grundle go? Because Baston was just listening to this, so he would have kept his eye on Grundle as she walked away from the table.
She's walked not very far away, given a clipped instruction to Justine Plummer, got irritated by whatever she said, and is now standing with her hands folded, watching this happen. Interestingly, the two fighters on the stage, who looked for a second like they were about to fight, are sort of trapped there, and they keep glancing back at Grundle, and she's sort of subtly shaking her head, you notice.
She's holding
the whole room.
Can I see her in a mirror anywhere?
No, she's standing near her booth.
Baston's just listening in on the conversation.
Okay,
look, tell me your wager then. What's the wager you want to put
on?
Well,
I'll tell you what. Grundle says Claudette's a sure thing, but you know, I don't think she's giving me good information. So what I'd like to do is wager with you. Let's say 10,000 dragons. You on Claudette and me on Puncher.
See, the problem with me taking a wager with you is you just came to me and asked to borrow 20,000 gold coins, which suggests to me that you've got fuck all money, you dumb idiot. So why would I take a bet with you when you couldn't possibly pay up?
Look, this is gauche to say, but do you know who I am and what I mean to this town? It's almost like you're not loyal to the cause.
And as he says this, he reaches very carefully into his coat and he pulls out a thin black case and he places it on the table in front of him, wrapping it quietly with his heavily ringed fingers.
I'll do a whatchamacallit check, Dave.
No.
Attack? I don't know what that means.
No, not an attack. Like a history check, I guess. Is the case like? Does it have like symbols on it or anything?
No, it's a pain. It's a plain black, sort of elegantly lacquered case.
Like it's probably and got how? A wand in it?
It has something long and narrow and thin, yeah.
A chongus.
Imperial chongus.
And Silas looks at you and he says, "You're quite right, of course. I'm not just skint, I'm in the hole. They won't take my chips anymore, and they won't take anything else. But you and me, we're gentlemen. I'm very happy for your wager to be money, but I have something much more interesting here."
"Oh, what? What, pray tell, is that in this evil-looking case?"
"Let me ask you, vampire, have you ever heard the name Petrina Colliana?"
And at that moment, Baston, you go bolt upright, because of course you do know that name.
"She is Strahd's, I want to say, girlfriend?"
"Yes, he's somewhat fond of her. This is obviously before my time as a undead, but seems awfully fond. He doesn't even know I have this. This is a dagger that belonged to her. My family, my real family, I suppose, had it at their estate, and I just happened to find it."
And he takes a tiny key, unlocks it, and snaps it open to reveal a very wicked-looking sharp stiletto dagger with a small skull pommel with two rubies in its eyes.
"Now, look, I'll level with you here. I was going to offer it up to the Lord as a sort of present to get me further in his favour, but as you see, I'm somewhat out of luck here and was about to pawn it. But rather than have it go to the establishment, what if we were to make a wager?"
"Okay, and what is that wager?" 10,000 gold dragons for this wicked-looking blade?"
20,000 gold dragons."
20,000 gold dragons.
"We'll take it.
For a wicked-looking blade."
"No, it's not as..."
Was that Baston?
Yes.
"So is it just a sale now? It's not a wager?"
"No, you said it's a wager."
"Yeah, it's against. It's, yeah, sorry,
you've got to get the value."
"Yeah,
yeah, yeah."
"Yeah.
So 20,000, and Baston is going to take it?"
"Yeah, we'll take that money, that action. That's what they say."
"Baston, what are you doing? What are you doing? Which money?
Silas, I'm not one of you, but I'm interested in getting in the club. Say if someone like me wanted to, you know, suck on the old blood stick. How would I get into that, you know, racket?"
He doesn't even look at Baston. He's like, "Your cosplaying friend is being sad. This is not the kind of place we come for this talk."
"Oof. I'm just keeping it together because I'm a 10 right now, but let me assure you, sir, if I was anything less, things would get very unattractive."
Silas places, snaps shut the case, takes his tiny key, locks it, and slides it to the center of the table as he puts the key back in his pocket, and he waits for your valise banknote to drop your money next to it.
Mm-hmm. "You'll need that in chips, I imagine."
Dave,
yes.
"I'm planning something pretty crazy. Can you just check in on the other guys for a second?"
"I can. Well, I think it's about time. So meanwhile, yeah, let's go upstairs where..." We've spent a little bit of time has elapsed as an impatient Bobby sits with his now finished milk next to Filge, a small plate of mostly eaten cookies and also just some grapes and apples and a little bit of cheese.
"Yeah, we do things nice in Switchmire."
"Yeah, I mean, you've really landed on your feet. I mean, I can really see a future. What am I talking about? Sorry, I completely forgot why I came up here. Look, all these documents have... look at this. This is a list of names and, like, fluid measurements. So, look, it might be a stab in the dark,
pee competition?
Either a pee competition or...
Must be pee competition.
Or, remember all the vials that we were dealing with before? I think, is it just vampires? I think this is a blood thing. So, if those dudes haven't come back yet, there is a very good chance that they are being drained for their red
blood
goodies, as I like to
their
call
red
blood.
What else do you like to call blood?
I like to call blood red goodies. I like to call it.
You do this much longer, I'm cutting away again.
Liquid life. I like to call it Scarlet Juice. I love to call it the metallic Fanta.
Like Red Dead Libation.
Okay, I'm done.
Those are all good names for blood. Okay, I agree. This is an extremely serious situation.
You're busting out of the common room a second time?
Yeah, we should try and track them down. Do you have any sense of where like this big hoo-ha is tonight?
Do I?
Daisy...
Do you want me to go, threaten someone and get them to tell me or use trickery?
So the other girls are in the rooms, including Maisie and Lameria Throp, the junior prefects. They're all asleep at the moment. But you can go wake someone up.
Okay, I'm gonna. Who was the good one, Maisie?
Maisie.
Maisie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sneak in and put a big paw over her mouth.
Okay. 15-year-old.
Drag her out of bed.
Filch just 1 second in an exaggerated pantomime, and then she tiptoes into the room with her huge, powerful orcish arms. She quickly grabs in one hand the head of Maisie Throp, a 15-year-old girl, muffling her, and then delicately picks her up out of her bed and walks back into the common room, her eyes bolt open and her cheeks bulging.
Okay, now you've made it weird again. Okay,
she deposits her carefully on a sofa and then very carefully removes her hand from her mouth.
Okay, Maisie. First things first. This is a dream. Second thing first. Where are all the prefects tonight? The important ones.
Hang on, let me just make a quick... Oh, okay, awesome. Yeah. So she completely fails her charisma save. So she's completely terrified of this. And not sure... And she failed us about, actually, because I rolled a one. That she's not sure it's not a dream, Ben.
Bobby says, I know I don't look like your father, but you know that I'm your father.
Yeah, kind of do.
Now, Daddy needs to know... Where the special event is
downstairs.
Tonight.
Downstairs. Through the kitchens, downstairs.
Downstairs, through the kitchens.
Through the kitchens, through the cellars, knock twice, the password's in delicto. It's another one of the madam's events.
Daddy is very proud of you.
Now don't open your mouth or your teeth will turn into bees and fly out.
She bolts her mouth closed.
Now go back
also,
to bed.
Also... Do not live in your sister's shadow. Okay, bye.
Okay, you leave her there, sitting too tired, too scared to go back to sleep, sitting on the sofa as you creep downstairs. Knock, knock, knock in delicto, and the door slides open to discover what was obviously a sort of anteroom bar. In fact, you don't even need to give the password because as you knock, the door swings open and you realize this little area, which is sort of a pre-bar, is empty. There's a curtain hanging to the side, leading into the main room.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's peek through the curtain.
Okay, peeking through the curtain, you see, as I said, a smoky room. As your eyes adjust, you can see booths and tables, and you see three things. One of them is this huge boxing ring standing in the center of the room with two leather armor-clad women holding short knives, still standing, paying attention to a woman that you assume from the portrait is Eleanor Grundle, who is standing looking impatiently to the side, and in a table that you can't help but notice the figure of Lion Shield Banknote, Baston, and a third gentleman sitting having a conversation, which we will now cut to Banknote. He's waiting for your money.
Well, how am I supposed to know that this is the genuine article? Might I see it in my hand, perhaps?
Sure.
It's the case is locked, but he's happy for you to handle the box.
Okay. Okay, very subtly, Lion Shield Banknote. Very subtly, Banknote makes eyes at Baston. as in like it's like go time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as he picks up the case, he's gonna Dave, I'm gonna cast a spell.
Now just before you are aware, and Banknote is aware, just so that you're clear. Vampires, some of the last true immortals, very powerful creatures, immune to many forms of damage, hundreds and hundreds of years old. So you can do this, but I just want you to be aware of that, because I don't want you to take this personally, but you accuse me of fucking you on this show quite a lot. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, buy the guy a drink, Dave.
I would like to empower you with this information, which Banknote already knows. Now, what is it that you want to do?
Okay. New plan. Okay, we got this. Okay.
Because you did just give eyes to Baston that it was on. So he's
a very small window before it's on now.
Okay. Banknote's going to take off the iron ring.
Yep.
That he's wearing. And place
the iron ring that you don't know what it does. The magic ring. Yeah.
And place it on the table. And then say,
I believe this would be an adequate wager against your dagger.
Okay. Okay. He looks at it. Turns it around three times. And he goes, yes, I suppose it would. And he places it down on the table between you. So now there's the dagger and the case. Best on, what do you do? Because you think it's on.
I think he'd just be very tense. be looking at everyone. Ready to go off. I think if anything goes down, he's going to grab the dagger and try and stab Silas with it.
Enough theatrics, my dear. I think you've made us all wait long enough. Let's all do what we all came here to see. The fight, please. And she looks tersely, a flash of irritation, it has to be said, at you, Banknote, and you, Baston. And she waves her hand, and the two figures start to circle around each other. And for a moment, all eyes are on the stage, which means that no one is paying attention to you, Bobby, and Filge.
Bobby's going to use...
trying out some new nicknames there?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, just call me Bob. My friends do. It's cool. I just like them chill. You know, I just live my life. I like dogs. Yeah. Bobby uses Messenger. To put a message into Eleanor Grundle's head so he can see her from where he is.
Okay.
And he's saying, Ms. Grundle, you have been cordially invited to attend the court of the Beggar King for a powwow.
Now, message doesn't cast back, so if she can't cast message, she can't reply, but she turns around slowly and looks at you, her face very blank and very cryptic. And then she turns and looks at Silas and then looks at the match again. She's clocked you, but she hasn't said anything.
Okay, Bobby just continues and said, we have information, certain promissory notes, records that maybe you wouldn't be so keen on slipping into the hands of your clientele. So let's just say it's not just a request, it's an order.
She looks incredibly irritated and she like makes eyes at you. You can't see what it says, but it seems to scream stop.
But she also looks a bit scared, like you're getting under her skin.
Okay.
Hey, Bobby, you want me to create a distraction?
Yes.
Okay.
The fight, as I said, while this is happening, the room is very quiet. You just hear every now and then the sound of the two combatants as they lunge at each other with these very small fights. It seems like this is a fight waiting for first blood, and the two of them are very good, and they're dodging each other. In fact, they've got armor class, so let's do it, because this is going to be combat. So we'll do one round, and then you can make your diversion. So Claudette lunges.
This isn't rigged. I assumed that you'd rigged this, Dave.
Really? Did you?
I'm pleasantly surprised that you didn't rig this.
Okay. Claudette lunges at Punch Up and misses. And Punch Up returns and they both miss. And now it's Filge
There's like a bunch of those like kind of cosplayers around loudly being like, "Oh no, I wanted to see blood."
Yeah. In the fake Transylvanian accent.
You call that fighting with blood, which I love?
And Phil just starts like she like pulls open the curtains and starts making her own entrance music. She's like,
the fight stops instantly. The two fighters turn and look, and everybody is looking at you, Filch, as you start walking in, humming your own intro music.
It's the fear of Waterdeep. It's the toughest girl in school. It's food. Who will challenge me? And then she picks up a chair and she smashes it.
Wow. Okay, great.
And then she like does a cool like somersault to enter the ring.
You're just getting into the ring?
Yeah, it's like she's getting in.
That feels like an unnecessary acrobatics check, Dave.
Well,
lucky, I'm amazing.
You can make an athletics check because I think that's more Filch's style. So, DC 14.
20.
All right.
Yo.
Coming in glow style, you make your way up onto the match as Silas looks and goes, "Well, this is interesting, isn't it?" And with that, Silas turns to look at Eleanor Grundle. "Excuse me, my dear. Slight change of tonight's entertainment. I'm sure you wouldn't mind humouring a friend as old and a patron who has provided your school as much money as me. Change of fight. Those two against the new champion. Unarmed, they keep their knives. What do you say? For an old friend."
"Well, of course, darling, but your debt still stands, obviously, so I hope you've made a good wager."
"Attentive to money as always. Yes, my dear old friend Eleanor, I'm working on that. If you would please." She nods curtly and the two figures. And again, so Filch, to be clear, because you are back in your pajamas now that you've been back in the common room, the two figures in leather armor that must be Claudette and Punch Up, one half troll, one a small brown haired girl with a wickedly curved knife, raise their blades into fighter's stances as they turn to face you, and a bell rings.
"Woo! Go Filch!"
Not really the energy of the room. Everybody else is quietly watching the blood sport, but you do see Baston.
"Hey, Baston, look at me!"
Silas looks at the two of you. "You know her?"
"No,
she's our daughter."
"Yes."
"Sorry, did you just say that she's your daughter?"
"Yes, I can't explain the complex, and nor do I have to explain
Grundle,
the complex
what's going
family
on
structure.
Here?
This is enough of this," and he takes and he reaches forward and he grabs with one hand his dagger, and with the other hand he puts his hand and he grabs, scoops up your valise of money.
"No, surely I get a reaction against
you
that,
do.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
surely
yeah.
I get a reaction.
You
against
absolutely
that.
Get a reaction as he starts to scoop it up. He says, "This is ridiculous. I'm
I
leaving.
Know when I'm being conned. I know when I'm being taken for a sap. I'm leaving and my debt is off."
This is a sleight of hand, Dave, I guess,
it's
or dexterity?
Just, no, it's you get a reaction. You get a reaction, a bonus action.
I'm going to try and swipe. I'm going to swipe the things he's swiping. Damn it.
I'm going to swipe the knife. We're doing a double swipe.
A post-dexterity check.
Well, he's
all
swiping
of us.
We're swiping him.
Everybody.
Okay. Oh, okay. 17. And then...
Ben, do you want to roll? He's plus 4 on his dexterity. Cool.
16.
That is a hot 5.
Okay,
and just to really rub it in, Dave, I'm going to use Flash of Genius to give me a plus 3 to my roll, so I've got a 20 there,
and I got 16.
Easily, you swipe up the box and you swipe up the dagger as he howls in rage, and he goes, "Electo, Danton, to me!" And at that point, he reaches his hands, which turn into claws, and he slashes at Baston in the face as fast as he can, as his figure grows monstrous. And he charges in and he attacks you.
Can Grundle try and placate everything?
Yeah, I think she will on her turn. But he attacks you, Baston, and he rolls a 18 and a 25.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's it. There's some hits.
Okay, 2d8 plus 5. Sorry, plus 10. And he takes. You take 19 points of damage. And it's Grundle's turn.
9?
Sorry?
19?
19 points of damage, yeah. But he doesn't bite you, that's just with an attack. And it's Grundle's turn.
Please, everybody, you must stay calm. This is just a misunderstanding. Please.
And as she says that, two larger of the figures that had no reflections that were sitting at other tables stand up, and one of them pushes her, and she sort of screams in surprise as she's manhandled and thrown into a booth across the room. And there are screams now from some of the students as they race towards you. They have claws too as well. And the next
the students have claws?
No, these two other figures, Alecto and Danton.
And the students don't have claws.
Are screaming in surprise.
Without claws.
The students aren't. Everyone that is a human in the room is suddenly looking terrified as these three vampires are cutting loose. Or at least that's what it seems to be. And one of them has just picked up, Miss Grundle and thrown her across the room. And she's landed heavily on the table in a booth on the other side as they charge into the fight. Now the next one up is Bobby.
Bobby's going to rush in with his Moontouch sword and go for Silas.
Okay, great. So you attack at Silas. Make an attack for me. Armor class 16.
That is... 18.
18 hits. The magical damage definitely lands. So how much damage?
That's 7.
7 points of damage. He screams in surprise and turns at you. And the next one up is Filge, standing on the ring.
I'm just going to duck away as well. Range. We're going
to
do a dash.
And as he turns to you, by the way, he's like, weren't you the man who did that wonderful blim blom thing before?
Wait, he was at the
I'm a man of the arts.
Okay, Filge, you're up.
I'm going to, stand up on the ropes of the ring and use that to jump off that and try and tackle Silas to the ground.
Okay, great. Make a charge for me, a strength attack. You can have advantage because you're propelling yourself off the ring.
Oh, I'm angry.
What are you angry about?
Oh, I'm angry that I didn't get to do my cool moves. He's like stolen the show from me.
All right.
Yeah, when Filge offers up a distraction, it's because she wants attention. It's not to yeah. force the narrative forward. Come on.
Okay, so that was 15.
All right, here's 17. He has huge strength in him. He grabs you in mid-throw and throws Filge across the room, and you smash into another booth, and you take 14 hit points of damage.
Oh, dear.
Boixy, boixy.
Baston, you're up.
I'm going to draw my magic swords. It's time for some slashing, Dave. What's Silas's armor class?
16. Alecto and Danton will be on you guys in a second as well.
Okay, all right, here we go. So I got 3 attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 16 is his armor class?
Yep.
Okay, 2 hits. 3 hits, you sucker boy. And I'm like, you're not even, I don't like you at all.
You're vamping. What's your damage?
It's 4 plus 7 is 13. And is it? No, that's not right at all. It's 11. And 8 plus 10 is 18. 29 damage.
All right, he doesn't look that hurt. And you can see already that the lines in his face are starting to heal even as he is pushed back by the onslaught of Baston. Banknote, you're next.
Okay, Banknote is going to make a run for Grundle.
Okay, great.
And I guess I'll, as I'm moving, I'm going to cast...
Now, he hasn't used his reaction yet, by the way. So as you run past, he slashes at you for 20 and hits you, I imagine, for only 10 points of damage.
Okay.
And now remember, she's next to Alecto, the one that's just pushed past. Oh no, she's at the booth. Yeah, so she's by herself.
So they threw her into the booth. So Banknote's going to run towards her, and as he does that, he's going to cast Long Strider on his on himself.
Okay, great. You run up to her and you start to try to help her to her feet.
Yeah, I'm like, Grundle, quick, come with me.
All right.
And he's going to pick her up and just fucking hightail it out of there.
Okay, you only can get up to her, and she's resisting being pulled out of the room as you're standing by her side. And the next up is Silas, who now attacks Bobby, who's the last one.
And while he's attacking, he's going like, Grundle, you're finished. You're finished with everybody. This was meant to be a safe harbor.
17, and he does 32 hit points of damage for you, Bobby.
I'm going to do an uncanny dodge.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Smart. As he rakes and rakes and rakes and bites at you. And you also lose 8 of those is your maximum hit points that you lose, which you can half to 4. As he drains blood out of you, and as he does, the lines in his cheek are starting to close. And the next one up is Grundle.
Okay, so Grundle does a couple of things. She's close to Banknote.
Yeah, Banknote still has sort of his arm around her waist.
So she does. She starts the thing that she was doing before, where she was like, "Everybody, please come. It's a big misunderstanding." And then when she realizes that's not getting through, she like just stops. Her demeanor changes, and she mutters to herself, "Oh, for fuck's sake." And then just says, "Girls, light them up!"
And as she says that, one of the prefects who's standing by the door pulls on a rope cord as the huge curtains behind the mirror fall to the ground, revealing more mirrors that are with some kind of crystals, it seems, behind them that power up, similar to your sword, with what looks like radiant sunlight. As they are angled down at the tables and booths around the room, crisscrossing as these lines of light hit all of the seating around the room. Where they hit the vampires, they scream in pain and surprise as they're slowed down by the sunlight trying to get away. Yes, King?
And at that exact moment, Beck's like, "Oh, no, also me. I'm burning. Oh, this sunlight is hurting my vampire skin."
Interesting
ouchie,
gambit.
Ouchie.
Interesting gambit and a crucial one, because at that moment, the doors to the bar burst open and 3 more of the prefects, each of them with what looks like modified heavy crossbows, quite cartoonishly large on these small girls' frames, walk out quickly to the vampires, and level them, all of them, with a magazine of sharpened stakes built into them, as Silas spins around, frozen in the light, and turns with a look of absolute loathing at Eleanor Grundle.
"You."
Does he say anything,
Ben? He's like, "Ah, fuck."
"Yes, well, I suppose if those are to be your last words, they can't all be winners, can they, Silas?" "Let them go, Mercy." And at that point, all 3 girls fire as bolt after bolt of stakes pierce into the chests of the vampires, and they're driven to the ground.
Whoa.
And, like, as they fall, she turns to the dragon friends and just, like, says to them with, like, venom dripping from her voice, "Darlings, you fucking idiots."
And Filch puts up her hand and she's like, "How many points for Switchmire?"
And as points are not given out, it seems that the Grundle School may be coming to an end. Whatever operation, whatever outfit, whatever underground mischief Eleanor Grundle was up to today with vampires, it seems that its business has run its course. For with 3 dead bodies, deader even than the deaths that they once died themselves, because undeath is hard and circuitous, and you get where I'm going with this, it seems that she will have very little recourse to continue her operation. And so as the sun begins to rise, figures make their way out of the Grundle School in exodus of a place that once was salvation for so many wayward orphans, but now must be forced to close its doors, and whatever lurked underneath in the downstairs cell and consigned to the rumors and history of a city of splendors and secrets. Such is the stories of the byways and alleys and towns and properties known only as Waterdeep in this Sword Coast, in these forgotten realms, in this known world that contains an adventuring party known as the Dragon Friends. Thank you!
Yay!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Eden Lacey, and me, Simon Greiner, and we're DM'd by Dave Harmon and Ben Jenkins. Dragon Friends is recorded in our homes in this age of isolation. Shakira Khan produces and designs our website. The podcast is mixed and mastered by Hugh Guest, with music this episode by Tom Cardi. Bye!
Where's Baston?
He was training in the jungle,
bombing pancakes.
He was running with the wolves.
Where was Fields?
Learning to read from the talking dog, yeah.
Where's Banknote?
He runs his papa's company,
Dark Lord Strud.
He's a very naughty man.
Fire it together.
The life of hope we call.
All right, Tom, you just want to clap with me on zero?
You on zero, Hing, just...
And then and bang, maybe bang your keys at the same time if it's the same file.
Okay, I clap my hands and bang my keys.
All right, ready? On
how
zero.
Bang? What bang with?
I'm going to bang with my fingers.
Sorry?
How can you clap at the same
time? I'm going to finger bang it, okay?
One, jeez. Two, three. Four. Like that, and then clap.
But how's he going to clap and play the piano?
I'm going to say, I'll say clap. I'll hang on. I'm okay.
On zero. Ready? Three, two, one.
Bang!
Cool.
So weird.
Did that sync for you guys or no?
No.
Not at all. Of course not.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.